if you are as fascinated about the way the mind works and mind-body connection and just showing up in the world as your best self as I am, you are going to love this conversation today. My guest, Matan Cohen Citron, is somebody who has taken his life and his love of mindfulness and movement and combined the two to do what he does today. And I'll just read you his bio here. And he says, people who know Matan professionally and personally would agree that his name is synonymous with dedication, playfulness, creativity, compassion, and honesty. Over the past 20 years and in over 20,000 sessions, Matan has employed and taught many modalities, including hypnosis, therapeutic movement, yoga, Pilates, meditation, breath, Qigong, and wellness and transformation coaching. And we just had such an interesting conversation, and I personally loved it. I love talking about the way our mind works, and he just brought some new perspectives on things that I personally never thought about. And I hope that you enjoy this conversation as well. And hopefully it leaves you thinking a new thought as well. If it does, let me know. Send me a message and let me know, what did you get out of this conversation today? Enjoy. Welcome to the Discovering Your Calling podcast. I'm your host, Sherry Miter. I'm here to help you unleash your strengths and get clarity on your calling. I believe when you find your purpose in life, fulfillment, joy, and success will follow. If you're ready, pop in those earbuds, hit that follow button, and join me on this journey toward discovering your calling. Welcome back, friends, to the Discovering Your Calling podcast. This is your host, Sherry Miter. And today I am here with Matan Cohen Citron. And I know it's like I'm always so worried I'm going to butcher people's names. So correct me if I did. But Matan, I am really interested to hear your story and have this conversation today. So thank you for taking time to be on the Discovering Your Calling podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Great. And we just met, so this is all going to be new, not just to our listeners, but to me as well, which I love that. I love hearing the stories just unfold naturally right in front of me. So share with me and with the listeners a little bit about what you do today and what makes you feel alive about it and makes it your true calling.
So what I'm doing today, the way I see myself, I'm a creator. I come to the studio every morning, 5 days a week. And I either play with myself and create some online education and programs like that. And I also work with clients, one-on-one clients, either around movement or mind. That it's, if it's mind, is more coaching and hypnotherapy. And if it's around movement, I focus on therapeutic movement longevity, and I work with some professional athletes. So my work is very wide, very not boring, very creative, and every day is a different day.
Yeah. And what, because you practice in a lot of different methodologies, I guess you would call it. I don't know what the right word would be there. What are all of them that you use in your practice?
I use so many different modalities that, you know, I'm in that field for 20 plus years. So I guess the common thing is that I practice them. Like I took them and turned it to be myself. Like I've been practicing yoga for many years, and primarily yoga. And then I kind of went out to learn Pilates, to learn Qigong, other meditation, energy work, hypnosis. I also do fitness. Nothing wrong with good fitness. It's an element of what I do. It's not mainly what I do. I usually do it for myself. Yeah, so that's really what got me into it, like daily practice of trial and error of to see what's actually working for me in my life.
I like that. And I love, I'm so big on trial and error, like figuring out you don't know what you love or what you don't love unless you get into it.
Exactly. And you give it a fair try.
Exactly. Yes. So let's talk about your journey to get here. Because I know you have a unique story of what got you here. So take us back to wherever that starting point was that you knew what you were doing, then you couldn't keep doing.
I guess there were a few points like this in my life, not only once, because also, you know, with what I'm doing right now, there are many things like, for example, teaching yoga classes. I don't really do it, you know, I do it every few months or something like that, but it used to, you know, it's something that that is happy, something that happened that served me for a very long time until it did not serve me. So I can look back and, you know, the days I worked in finance and said, you know, no way I want to do that. No way I want to wake up for that in the morning. This was one big shift that I realized that, and I just quit it without any backup plan. Like my backup plan was to think about a business or something like that. But I ended up being a stay-at-home dad with my first child. So that was kind of like one moment quitting finance. There were many moments before that I had to let go of things that did not serve me, and many moments after that, I feel that part of being an entrepreneur and following your call, you constantly have to let go of what's not serving you. So these days it's a little bit easier for me to let go of certain things.
So when you were in finance, what were you doing then?
I was doing like portfolio management and trading, and the more exciting stuff of it, I would say this way, but it did not fill my cup. That's basically it.
And how did you know it was like time for you to make that change and get out of that?
Just not being, depression, just not being happy waking up in the morning to do what I was doing. I was not feeling good, and back then all I was thinking, that's the only thing I can do. And, then you take a break from me. I took a break from myself and my own thinking for a while and said, maybe there are other ways that I can earn money, give value to the world, give value for myself, do something different with my time.
And I think I'd like to go back to one of the things you just said, that you didn't know there was something else.
Yes.
And I feel like that's what keeps so many people stuck. And they stay in a job that's not serving them anymore, like you said, or maybe causing that burnout, maybe causing them to just not be happy with it. But they stay there because it's all they know.
It serves them, It's it's like as a hypnotist, I follow words, but you say it doesn't serve them. It serves them. It gives them exactly what they're familiar with. It might not feel good for them. They're paying a huge price. Okay. Mm-hmm. They are not a lot of people in that situation are not aware of the price that they're paying, but they are paying a huge price of not being happy in the morning or at night.
Right.
So people know when they're not happy. Now it's safe and familiar for us to stay in those places because we're familiar with that. As simple as that. That's what we're getting out of it.
Right. And I see what you're saying. Yeah, that it's serving them because it's keeping them in that safety. Maybe it's serving them in, well, it provides a good paycheck or it provides the benefits. It provides something.
Even if it's not serving them with benefits and money and all of it, it's just familiar, So, for example, if you're in a job that you're not happy and you're miserable, now you have an identity. Being there serve your identity as a victim, as whatever, whatever identity a person takes on himself. So that serves. Now we have to, if we want to shift that, we have to, we have to take down those shackles that holding us. And that's, in yoga, we call it uncomfortability. It's like we have to hold that, that resistance that we have and to learn how to move through while having that resistance.
Right. What gave you the courage to do that? To finally say enough?
Yeah. Different things along the way, but right now it's non-negotiable. Like, I made an agreement with myself that I will do whatever I need to do in order to live the life that I want. So everything that that comes on the way, I have the resistance, but then I will go and I will conquer it eventually. I don't know if conquer is the right word, but I will face it and will take the action. I might fail or whatever will happen, but I will go in that direction of pursuing my dreams, because it's either I operate from love and fear. There is no in between. And I'm afraid for many different things. It's not about trying to not be afraid, but I move with the fear.
So where did you learn that? Like, did somebody teach you, or was that how you were raised? Like, or were you just ingrained with that? Like, how did you learn to get to that place of being okay with that, moving through the fear?
Yeah. I think when I was younger, it's a great question, because I think when I was younger, I was thinking that I was doing that, but I was basically shaming my fears away. Like, for example, when I was 18, I joined the Israeli military, and that was pretty fearful. Like, you know, to basically sign a paper that you're willing to die for your country. It's kind of like, I would never do that in my life right now. At this moment, I would just move to a different place. I will, you know, I won't do it again. So when I was younger, I did it from a place of like pushing it, like, you know, like thinking that being strong, being a man, whatever, you know, definition I grew up with, was to just do it and ignore it. Now I feel it. I feel the fear. I give, you know, like that fear came from safety. I know it came from, you know, from it's a kind of a young age, young voice in me that I listen to, I honor, I hug, and I just understand that this is a human's mind. Like, when, you know, it's like, this is the juice that I have. So where did I have it? 20 plus years of yoga. You know, this is exactly what you practice when you practice yoga, to observe your mind, how, you know, it moves towards attraction of, you know, going and eating an ice cream or having a drink, or, you know, will really going to make you happy right now, leave everything you do, or not, you know, to move away, resistance. So I'm a little bit familiar with that after 20 years, even though I still have the same tendencies.
Yeah. And I love that, this thought process around it, because I've never really heard anybody, we talk a lot about fear. And, you know, fear holds people back from stepping out of their comfort zone and stepping into something new. And we talk about, you know, what's the acronym for fear? False evidence appearing real. And it almost comes from this fighting the fear.
Yeah.
And conquering it. And what I'm hearing you saying is almost like, this is just my mind, the way it's comprehending this, of almost befriending the fear. And let's move through this. Let's move along together. It's going to be there. We can't get rid of fear.
Yes. And, you know, what comes to mind to what you're saying, there are many elements to it. You know, like, you can look at stress and fear in many different ways. So I like the more physiological approach to fear, because our thinking is very limited. It's like, think about where you are right now. You're 100% sure of your beliefs. You will die for them. 2 hours later, you will have a different thinking, different belief. You will die for them. So our thinking is very limited, especially when it comes to fear. So that's why I prefer to work through the body, because the body also holds tension. And I think another element of fear is the unconscious mind, is the beliefs that we have around. Like, fears are a result of a belief that we have, that I have to protect myself from somebody, from myself, from, you know, that we live in a hostile world. That's you know, if we change that belief that you're not here to be attacked or get murdered or anything like that, it's like, you're here to, you can thrive here. So I think, like, when we, that, it's like, I think that the work is gradual, working through the body. And then when we, the same way in yoga, that we get to the deeper layers of our mind, in the deeper layers of belief, is a belief that we are safe and we are here actually to have fun and be happy and fulfilled and have joy and getting the most out of this life.
Right. To move away from the caveman days of the fear that everything's, that we have to be like on alert all the time. That way of living too. Yes.
I'm not sure that the caveman days were like that. I'm sure, you know, like they met a tiger every, you know, every 2 months or so, but then their level of alertness went down. I think one of the reasons that stress is such a big problem is that we are on alert all the time. So we haven't, in terms of time, we haven't, not so much time passed from a biology point of view, from the caveman. But what we're experiencing on a mental, like how much stimulation we have over the past 100 years, that's crazy. It's like we need at least, I don't know, a million years of adaptation that we can deal with all of this social media and advertisement and TV and messages and subliminal messages and all of that, that our physiology can regulate ourselves through that.
Yeah, there's so much stimulus coming at us. And I know before we hit record, you and I were talking about the peace we get from either being on the water, next to the water, and just, you know, relaxing with that. But what advice would you give to somebody that's like, oh, they're listening to this and maybe they're sensing that like, oh, that's me. I'm fearful of everything, or I am so stressed out. No. What's the first step? Like, what's that look like? What advice do you give them?
Give space for that.
What do you mean by that? Expand on that, please.
The tendency that we have, and you said it, like in a way, I don't know what you were, where were you going with that? But we have that underlying message that fear is not okay, that you have to fix your fear, that you have to change your fear. Now, you know, I like to do it when I work one-on-one hypnosis and regression. Usually I go, okay, so a person has that story that right now is whatever, 30 years old, 50, 70 years old, and now he has those fears. Okay. At this moment in time, the person usually expects himself to be brave with the fear, to be strong and not to feel fear, to not feel disappointed that they feel fear. Like, how come I got to be 60 years old and I still have anxiety and I, you know, I'm afraid to go on a date or whatever, instead of just acknowledging that, you know, now just change the number from 60 to 6. Instead of being a 60 years old, now you are 6 years old experiencing fear. It's okay when you're 6 years old to feel fear. For most of us, what I find through work is that 95% of anxiety is something that at one point we were trying to block fear because we made that unconscious decision that fear is not okay. If fear is okay, just a feeling, like what happens if every time you feel joy and love, you're going to try to fix it and be realistic, you know, don't allow yourself to feel love, to feel joy, to feel satisfaction. It's an emotion. It has to run. Once it's run, like, yeah, I get afraid all the time. And sometimes, like today, I'm going to climb, so I'm going to feel more fear than usual. But I'm not shaming that fear. It's a healthy body function. Fear. It's supposed to keep us safe.
I love that mentality of that it's healthy. It's here for us, and I so agree with that. That it's just an emotion. It's just an emotion. And not to make it this bigger thing than it needs to be, for sure. And a lot of times the fear is all up in our head anyway. It never even comes, what we're afraid of never comes, becomes a reality. Now, sometimes like when you're climbing, yes, there are fears you need to be, be aware of. You know, you don't want to make silly mistakes, but
there is a difference between being fearful and being cautious.
Yes.
So we want to be cautious in life. We don't want to jump from a bridge or to do something, you know, that will cost us and the people around us a heavy price. And we want to be cautious with life. There is, I don't remember, but in Chinese medicine, it's two different meridians, like fear and cautious. You want that. For you, it's a healthy thing, you know, to protect yourself. Nothing wrong with that.
Right. Yes.
It's a natural, you know, we have that drive to survive. It's a very strong drive in our nervous system. And we have the drive to connect. Sometimes they go together. Sometimes they go in opposition. It really depends on the person. So I think all of this is very natural. So And I think that it's very hard to people to tap into this emotion and tap into their body in general. Their body, where all these emotions are being held, is not a safe place for a lot of people for different reasons. Some of them are collective. They're not even ours. So I think, like, to have a body practice, I think it's super important to learn how to tone into your own body, to your own energy, and even to clean that energy just for 5-10 minutes a day. I think it does a tremendous difference for people, versus they're turning from being an on all the time and being reactive all the time to just being more observe themselves.
So what does that practice look like? Like, what, for somebody that maybe is new to any of the practices you do, like, what does that look like for, and maybe even, I would love to hear Matan, like, what your transition to get from, maybe I'm going to start yoga. Like, what made you start it to now get to where you have so much in-depth knowledge and I can hear your passion for what you do come through. Yeah. That's how we know it's a calling, when you can talk about this and have that passion and knowledge come out.
Yeah. Like, so my definition would be the right medicine for the right time. Okay. So for me, I knew when I was 20, I knew that I'm going to give a try to yoga. However, it took me 2 years of practice until I found my first teacher. So it's not like here, like, you know, I'm going to the gym, I'm going to start yoga 3 times a week, I'm going to call myself a yogi, and and that's the external definition that I give myself. So it doesn't matter if it's yoga, there are so many styles of yoga, if it's meditation, there are so many styles of meditation. Might be walking quietly, it might be drinking your tea in the morning quietly, might be sitting and observing your breath, it might be swimming, it might be so many things. What the practice, I think, the goal of it is to shift ourselves from our thinking into our feeling, to shift from the active part of the nervous system into the parasympathetic nervous system, where we can slow down. So it should give us an access to press that pause button that we all have inside. That's my what I look when I work with people, and I try to help them to find their own. And there is a reason that I don't say, take 6 breaths to your belly, which is the one technique that I love, because I think it's very individual and person have to find their own thing that works for them. So when I look back at 20 years of daily practice, I had over hundreds different practices over time. You had different styles of yoga, meditation, qigong, breath work. I think it's all just adding to us. Like, we have a big toolbox of things to do, because there are things on the quiet side of stress that are helpful for us, like meditating. There are things that on the more active side, like going and exercising, that it's really helping us as well.
Yeah. And again, because this is newer, I do a lot of these things, but I think it's a newer way to look at it as yoga and everything, of using it as that mindfulness, using it as that more quiet versus active working out.
Yeah.
And I feel like listening to you, I realize that a lot of us have almost a disconnect between the two.
Yeah. Yeah. There might be a disconnect, but I think I look at it as a skill. Mm-hmm. Our nervous system, a healthy nervous system, knows how to shift from one occasion to the next. So yes, you want to be able to wake up and be relaxed and reflective and listen to the birds and all of that. But you also want to be in a live music concert that is exciting and get excited and go up with your nervous system and stay regulated while going up. Same thing is for exercise. How can you exercise but and at the same time maintain the energy in you, not to release all of that energy out. Like people can do in yoga or Qigong, that it's about cultivating the inner energy. How you do it while exercising, and exercising can mean many different things to different people, but trying to cultivate energy instead of just releasing and dropping all of this energy out.
Yeah. And like I said, this again is just the Sherry Mitre version of what I'm hearing and how I'm taking this in. And I'm sure every listener is going to hear it, you know, take what they need differently. But it's making so much sense to me because, you know, I talk a lot about that so many times we don't quiet ourselves from our busyness all the time to really hear our own intuition, to hear what we really want, to really listen for our gut to tell us and lead us to our next step in our career path, usually is what I'm talking about. But
yeah,
and I can see this in myself. I've done this. I've been guilty of it. And, you know, family members and friends that they take on an exercise program, whether it's going to the gym and doing weights, whether it's running, but it's more purely for the physical fitness of it.
Yeah.
And they're not getting this whole mind-body connection that you are talking about. They're missing that piece of it. But they think, well, I'm going to the gym, so I'm doing this healthy thing.
Yes.
You're talking about, like, let's take that to this whole different level that connects it all together. And
I think it's a balance. The bottom line is to create a balance, to be able to, you know, to work hard, which is very primal when you think about our biology. To work hard is, we've done it for thousands of years. Feels fantastic. And also the other side. So it's basically just creating a balance. So one of the things I like to say to my clients, it's like, I'm here to work on your weaknesses. I'm not here to, you know, to work on your strength and make you feel good. You know, you do it by yourself anyway. I'm here sometimes to point out what's the weakness that we have and how we're kind of finding our own creative way to be curious to start shedding light into that area that before the weakness is scary and all of it, and how we're kind of remapping that area in life, and we can turn it into light instead of being that dark thing that we are not interested in stepping in. Because then we keep avoiding, if something's showing up in our life and we're avoiding it over and over again, we're creating a mistrust with ourselves and a mistrust with our body. So it doesn't work to try to ignore the body. Not with food and not with emotion.
Yeah. And that's what I'm thinking, like in my head, I'm just realizing, like, sometimes we're like in that pounding, almost that pounding thing of, well, I'm working out, so I got to be de-stressing. I got to be doing this. But if you're missing this element of the mindfulness and the element of, wait, do we have to work that hard? Maybe there's this other element here that we're missing altogether.
I think, you know, when we work really hard, we're really in our head. We're not really in our body so much. It's like we're literally, it's an out of body experience. We're just in our head with the music, and we pay so in, I'm talking about the gym mentality. It's like we pay so much attention to what other people are doing, and we can't really tone in and feel what we're doing.
And there's definitely a time for both. Like, I'm not saying don't go to the gym at all. Like, that's, I'm not giving you permission not to go work out. That's not what we're talking about. But getting more in tune with the whole connection there.
Yes, there is the all body part, the all embodied part. Unfortunately, we don't have so much language to describe it, but we're at the point that, let's call it a positive body tone. It's for a person, you know, you can develop it by slow practices, by walking slowly, practicing Qigong, yoga, Feldenkrais, somatic, all of these slow practices, meditation. So that body tone and that sense of body, of being more in our body, right now in science, we are able to connect it to health. Okay? And people and the other side, like people who experience traumas and stress and stuff like that, they have less body tone. They're not so much in their body. which makes sense because it's a defense mechanism that we have, you know, when we experience trauma, to disassociate from our body. But later on in our in life, it's related to eating in disorder, mental disorders, and all of this bad behavior that we're having. And that's why I think it's very important to, wherever the person is in life, to add more and more body time into their life. So the body becomes something that is safer. So even if the person doesn't know right now what it's to sit for 10 minutes and just enjoy listening to the birds, maybe after 10 years of practice is something that becomes natural, just to, you know, to enjoy being present.
And that's what I was just going to ask you, like, what for somebody that maybe this is all new to them and they're thinking, okay, yeah, I need to incorporate something, like what would you suggest would be a couple of places to start?
I would start with maybe 5 minutes of quiet. It can be while driving, it can be while walking, it can be while sitting outside. I'm a big fan of being outdoors, because there are many things that our body do naturally when we're outdoors, such as paying attention to the environment, scanning, smelling, seeing all of these things with our eyes. So 5 minutes. And I think a big part of it is to start small. And if we're not starting small, we usually going to fail in that and not continue. It has to be fun. You do it. I'll tell you a story. Like a few months ago, I found myself really busy. I was super busy at work. I had many things to do. So when I got into my car, I have a short drive home, 20 minutes. I just kept listening, kept the stimulation, kept the phone calls and stuff. Then I said, it's a little bit too much. I come home and my head is too busy to be home. I'm not enjoying my life at home. So I said, I will stop working before I get into the car. And then I was listening. I stopped. I created the all 20 minutes of silence. And it was too much because my mind went crazy with that silence. And then I said, all right, let's do it just from that junction, 5 minutes from home. I will just do it for 5 minutes. And after do it for a few days, I turned it to be 7 minutes, 10 minutes. And then I basically got myself into a place that it was actually a pleasure for me to enjoy the silence. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't a fight anymore. So I think we live in a culture that people might listen to it and they say, wow, I want to be a meditator. I want to be a yogi. I want to go to the gym. It's not about having the desire to do all of things is great. I wish I could take care of myself all day long. Sometimes I personally love it, but it's about the love and it's about the quiet. I think that we're in a very interesting period in time right now with wellness and with yoga and with fitness and all of that. However, we have to start asking ourselves more, what's our objective? Because right now we have, do this, do this, do this, do this. But what is the objective? You have lower back pain? Let's fix the lower back pain. Let's take care of this first. You have stress? So we live in a world of methods, yoga, Pilates, gym, all of this stuff. However, my expertise, instead of doing, seven different things, finding what's going to bring the juice into the individual and just focus on that. Because a lot of time we're creating another necessity. So all of a sudden the person wants to feel good. He started going to the gym 7 days a week, but what about family? Where do you go to the gym? When you're awake usually, and that's not your time with family. So I think the next step that will come in that wellness world is like how to really make it work for individuals and not that prescription, sleep, diet, movement, exercise, state of mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Such great advice on so many levels there. One of just starting in the smaller steps.
Yeah.
So important, especially because we are in such a world of being addicted to our phones and always on our phones and listening to something, or the TV's on, or, you know, scrolling on social media, there's so much stuff coming at us all the time. And I'm like you, I can sense now myself like, oh, I got to stop it all, you know. But then when you stop it all, then that's uncomfortable too. So it's
too extreme.
Mm-hmm. So I love the idea of just starting with that 5 minutes. And maybe it's, you know, if you go for a walk, maybe not turn. Because I find myself too of like, okay, if I'm going to go for a walk, well, I want to maximize my time. So I'm going to listen to a podcast or I'm going to listen to a training. And I've started to realize like, wait a minute, that's, I'm missing that mindfulness connection there because something's coming at me.
Yes.
You know, that entire walk. So, which I thought always was a good thing, maximizing my time. But the more I'm realizing it's like, no, I need time to just think and process and create. And I'm so much better when I come back from that walk, you know?
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's basically, you know, the title of your podcast. Like, because if you're so much in a mode of maximizing time, then don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of moments like that in my week. If we're in that mode, we're operating from a different state of mind that we're not that creative. Okay, so if you whatever a line worker on in Amazon, I don't know if there is that thing. If it's not robot, great, you know. But if you have to be creative and to think and to connect to your intuition and to do all of that, there is a price. Your brain is not going to function as well if you're on all the time.
Right, right. That's why I think that love of the water and love of sailing, that's one of the reasons I fell in love with sailing, is that peacefulness. And when that engine goes off and the sails and there's no noise, like my husband loves to have the music on all the time. It's like, sometimes it's like, no music, like nothing, just let's just be.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just have to just let it be and take in whatever you hear. And it's amazing. You said this earlier. When you do that, you start to hear and see things that have been there all along, outside and inside of us. But we need that to create that space to take it all in.
So I like to call it an inner body experience.
I like that inner body experience. Yes.
Yeah. I think we live in a society that we all want like an outer body experience. I'm like, what about an inner body experience that we'll just be, you know, present and just enjoy to be with each other, but also to be with ourselves. It's like there is a, you know, I'm fascinating by my, It's weird for me. People, I'm fascinated by my own body. It's such an amazing machine that it's like, wow, I have so many years to keep studying it. It's fascinating. And once we're paying attention to it, to all of these cues that it gives us, it's like it's a compass. It's way more effective than just being connected to our critical thinking that is very limited.
Right. And I love that you're saying that about fascinated with your body. And like, I love that approach to it and just, you know, fascinated with too, of keeping that running the most efficient for a long time out. Very in tune with that.
And, you know, I think it's a balance, you know, for a long time, because you do want to think for the future, but the future is also, you know, a concept in the present moment in our brain. So I think, you know, a lot of my work is movement longevity around, you know, how will you move in your 60s, 70s and 80s? That I think it's important to think, but nobody promises you that, you know, you're going to live tomorrow or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So it's very, for me, it's very present. It's more about, you know, like this week, next week, this day, that what I have in mind. So how to create balance between the two.
Right. Right. And I love that approach because that's kind of, you know, the parallel there. That's what I coach people to do with their lives, with their jobs, with their career, with their new business, of be happy today.
Yeah.
We're not promised tomorrow. So we can't wait until tomorrow. I always say that traditional mindset of you go to college, you get a job. Doesn't matter if you like it or not. You got to stay there for 20, 30 years, get the retirement. Then you can go off and enjoy your life.
Yeah.
And that work mode doesn't work for most people. But I love that because you're saying that same thing with the mind-body connection doesn't work. We can't put that off for the future. Do it for today, that you can live in this moment right now to find that joy right now.
Yeah, it's a delusion in the future anyway. It's not guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
And B, it's like, you know, when you think about being happy as a skill, if right now I'm saying, you know, I'm really grinding and I'm working that in 10 years I'm going to retire, it's like, what am I actually practicing? I'm actually practicing putting stuff on hold for 10 years, putting myself on hold, putting love on hold, putting my desires on hold for 10 years. And like, I don't think that, you know, everybody's in a place in life that they can go for it. But if your desire is the birds, watch birds on YouTube for 5 minutes a day. Like, keep that flame going. It's like, it's not that you're either going 120% for it or you die. There is a middle in that.
Right, right. And again, I love that you bring the concept back. Start with something. Start with something that gives you joy. Even if it is 5 minutes.
I think
makes a big difference. Yeah, absolutely.
I think transformation should be very practical. You know, there are things that you can get rid of, behavior of trauma or things like that I do all the time in hypnotherapy. There are things that we have to take action, and the best way to shape our brain is by taking action. And it doesn't have to be a big action. It can be something of 5 minutes a day, then build it to 7. And then you do it out of a place of love, not out of a place I have to. Mm-hmm. And I think, by the way, when you talk about, you know, feeling good, following your calling is the best thing you can do.
Yes.
But then you spend more and more time in a state of flow, not in a state of, that person wants me to do that thing, I have to do it because I want to bring income for my family. That's not a survival. Survival is hell. It's not a fun place to perform or to live.
Right. Exactly. That's why I do what I do. And I know that's why you do what you do. Yeah. You want to get in that place of joy and flow and loving what you're doing today.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Not every day. There's always going to be stuff, but today for the most part. Yeah. And that's why I like joy. You know, I say joy because joy is that inside. It's not dependent to me. Joy is inside. It's not dependent on outside circumstances that make us happy in that moment. You know, So Natan, this has been just very insightful conversation. I love learning new things. I love having a new thought. That's always something I want the listeners to get from the Discovering Your Calling podcast too, is just to leave with this new thought and to process it. And, you know, take those 5 minutes and maybe take some quiet time, you know, take one thing you heard for the listeners, one thing you heard today to implement. But if they want more, if they want to learn more about what you do, what you offer, how to follow you, where can they connect with you?
Working on my website, Matan's Movement, Matan, MATANS, movement.com. They can reach out, find me, connect with me. There is like one online course there on reducing stress and shifting out of stress and heal the nervous system. This is the first course that I put because I think that getting out of stress is so important. When we're stressed, we're thinking that we have to do all of this thing. When we're unstressing ourselves, it's like, it's freeing. Why was I thinking that I have to do all of these things?
Right.
So that's there as well. Yeah.
Great. And so needed in today's world. So needed in today's world. So thank you for doing what you do. And thank you for being a guest on the Discovering Your Calling podcast and sharing your insights on here. And we'll have the link to your website in the show notes so people can and follow you. And I know you said you make some videos and stuff too. Do you do things on YouTube or is it on your website or where? And
right now, at the end of May, I think somewhere in 2 months, everything will start coming up on Instagram, maybe TikTok. I have my team working on it. I'll give them the, you know, the time to finish it. And yeah, I'm shifting my business online. So I'll start doing a little bit more courses and master class groups, because I personally, I love online education. I think it's a great way to create transformation in a person's life. I find Zoom to be super effective in many different ways. It's so much better than one-on-one conversations. In person, I mean conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm excited for that. So, and now I'm part of my lifestyle. What I did in the past 13 years was raising my kids. Now they're a little bit older, so I want to shift a little bit more. So I shift my business online, so I can travel and surf and sail and do all of this fun thing.
Yep, that's exactly what I've been doing. So, yep, moving it all on Zoom. Yeah, so glad to hear that. And hey, maybe we'll see each other out on the water on Long Island Sound. So, thank you, Matan, for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you for spending this time with me. My hope is something you heard today inspires you to take action toward discovering your calling. I just have two favors to ask of you before you go. One, if you found value and enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and you might hear your review read on a future episode. And two, can you share this episode with three friends who will also enjoy it as much as you did? By doing these things, you will help us grow the podcast to make a bigger impact on the world. And until next week, remember, you've been created to live a life of fulfillment, freedom, purpose, success, and joy.